I can't get no satisfaction because I try and I try and I try and I try. I can't get no. When I'm driving in my car and that man comes on the radio and he's telling me more and more about some useless information supposed to fire my imagination, I can't get no. Oh, no, no. Hey, 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 that's what I say. I can't get no satisfaction. Do you want to feel old? 1965 was when the Rolling Stones released that song over 50 years ago. But it has stood the test of time. One of their most popular songs. It was once placed second on a list of the all-time greatest songs of all time. That's pretty amazing. It speaks, I think, of a somewhat universal search for satisfaction. A search that is common not just for us, but across all cultures, all ages. Think about the year that's just closed, 2016. Did you find satisfaction? Or did you try and try and try and try and you got no satisfaction? Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking together at some very ancient songs. Psalm 90, Psalm 91, Psalm 92. Three ancient songs that I hope is going to reorientate us for the year ahead, for 2017. Today's psalm, Psalm 90, is a song about satisfaction. But instead of trying and trying and trying and trying, the psalmist has three big ideas for us. Firstly, that God is eternal and we are not. Secondly, that God is angry and we deserve it. And finally, God is the one who satisfies and makes us glad. Let's take those things one at a time. Firstly, God is eternal and we are not. Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth. Forever you formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The psalm starts by remembering who God is. He is the one who's been our dwelling place, our refuge throughout all generations. It's an extraordinary claim to make, isn't it? But all the more when you realize who said it. See the rubric right at the start of the psalm. It says this, before verse 1, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So out of the 150 psalms that we have, this one is written, the only one written by Moses. And when he comes to write his song, where does he start? He starts with God. But think about Moses' life. Think about where Moses dwelt in his life. Taken from his family as a baby, brought up in Pharaoh's palace. Fled out to Midian after killing the Egyptian slave master, returning to confront Pharaoh. The exodus out of Egypt, heading to Mount Sinai, 40 years walking around the desert, dying on the border of the promised land, not being able to go into it. And he can say, Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. He can say that, even though it seems like he's hardly had a life of great satisfaction. As Moses reflects on God and all the places that he has dwelt, much more important to him is the fact that God has been their dwelling place. God has been their shelter. God has been their refuge. Before the mountains were brought forth, before the earth was formed, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Our God is the everlasting God. He stands outside time. You know that phrase, you know, he's as old as the hills? Well, God's older than that. He made the hills. He brought forth the mountains. God is eternal, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Friends, that ought to take our breath away. God is eternal, and we are not. Verse 3, you return man to dust. And say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. What a huge contrast that is. God is our dwelling place, our refuge. From everlasting to everlasting, He is God. And He returns us to dust. There's a good chance that Moses wrote Genesis. Genesis contains the creation account of God taking the dust and out of it forming man, and sin entering creation, and death because of sin, and in death, God returns us to dust. It's like grass that's renewed in the morning. It's bright and green. It's fresh with dew. But then the baking sun comes. We're feeling it the last couple of days. And the grass withers and fades and dies. Friends, we need that kind of perspective on our life. We're the grass. We're not the everlasting one. It's been a big year for death, hasn't it? David Bowie, Alan Rickman, Harper Lee, the author of To Kill a Mockingbird, Nancy Reagan, the former First Lady, Sir George Martin, the fifth Beatle, Prince, Muhammad Ali, Gene Wilder, Arnold Palmer, Fidel Castro, the astronaut John Glenn, George Michael, Carrie Fisher, Demi Reynolds. People have been bemoaning 2016 as if, I don't know, 2016 has some kind of caused all that to happen. No, celebrities die every year. So do a lot of other people. 55.3 million people die each year. It's over 151,000 people a day. 6,316 people per hour, about two a second. God is eternal, but we are not. But to grasp our mortality. Let's come to the realization that we are grass, we are not God. 1,000 years is like a day to God, and hardly any of us will get to 100, let alone 1,000. Let's grasp our mortality, and friends, realize this. There are people among us who won't see next Christmas. That's a disturbing thought, isn't it? But don't make the mistake of looking around as kind of wondering who that might be. It might be you. It might be me. God is eternal, and we are not. Grasp that great truth, and we're going to find true and lasting satisfaction. God is eternal, and we are not, because the reason why this is because God is angry, and we deserve it. The whole reason why the world is wired this way is spelt out for us in verse 7 and following. The four in verse 7 is like a because we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. We are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? See, Moses reminds us of a very uncomfortable truth, that God brings us to death because he's angry. We are dismayed by his wrath. God is rightly angry with us. So you see what he does in verse 8? Why is he angry? He lays out our iniquities before himself. That's our sin. Picture that, God laying out all your sins on a table in front of him, and God himself picking over them and saying, oh, what have we got here? Friends, there's nowhere to hide. Even our secret sins are exposed in the light of God's presence. You know those things that you do when no one's watching? Or those things that you think in your mind, you'd never say them because you're much too polite for that. You just think them instead. Or that thing that you've covered up for years and years, Nobody knows about it, but God sees. God knows. And the wages of sin is death. What payment are we owed for God because of our sin? What does our sin earn us? We're owed death. Verse 9 again, all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80, and yet their span is but toil and trouble. They're soon gone, we fly away. Our days are spent under God's wrath. Our years just end with a sigh, and it's all over. Some of us might make it to 70. If we're lucky, some of us will make it to 80. We just sang happy birthday to a guy up at Mudrabar. He's 91 today. Some of us will get there. Some of us won't. Isn't it extraordinary? Here's an ancient song, I don't know, 3,000-4,000 years ago. Not much has changed. You know, 70, 80, that's pretty normal. That's the kind of life we get. It's a life of toil and trouble. Years quickly pass by. The years are soon gone. I don't know what your experience of last year was, but gosh, that went quickly for me. And after they're gone, away we fly. God is angry at our sin, and we deserve it. We need to start this new year being honest with ourselves. We sin, and we deserve God's anger. We do things that we ought not to do, and we don't do things that we ought to do. We sin with our minds. We sin with our speech. We sin with our bodies. We sin at work, and we sin with our families. We sin when we're away on holidays. We sin when there's no one else there. We don't honour God like we should. We don't thank him nearly enough. Some of us shake our fist at God and swear at him and curse him. The rest of us do the same thing in subtle, secret ways. But there are no secrets with God. We deserve his anger. Doesn't really give us satisfaction, does it? But it should. 2017, grasp these two great truths and you will find satisfaction. God is eternal and we are not. And God is angry and we deserve it. Because if you grasp those two truths, then you're going to get the cross. On the night that Jesus is betrayed, he goes to the garden to pray. He goes to Gethsemane. It's a prayer that exposes what's really going on with Jesus' death. It's not an accident. It's not political conspiracy. It's a death that comes to Jesus even though he wasn't deserving it at all. Come with me. Keep your finger in Psalm 90 and come with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." Going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep, take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." At which point Judas arrives on the scene and the death of Jesus begins. What's going on here? Well, verse 39 is key. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So Jesus' distress on the night before he died is caused by this cup, a cup that in his death he will drink. He's not worried about drinking an actual cup. It's an Old Testament image. It's an image of a cup that is full of God's wrath. It's a cup of God's anger. It's a cup that's filled with God's anger, not at Jesus, but at all sin, yours and mine. It's a cup filled with God's wrath. Remember, God set out our sins before him, our iniquities before himself. And he's rightly angry at us. And all of that anger goes into that cup. It's God's anger at our rebellion against him. It's God's anger at our secret sins. God is angry. We deserve it. And it's all in that cup. And Jesus drinks it for us. The wages of sin is death. Jesus dies for us. God is eternal, we are not. God is angry and we deserve it. All those things collide at the cross. God himself, in the person of Jesus, God the eternal one, the one from everlasting to everlasting, he dies so that we might live. The innocent one who doesn't deserve to die, he faces God's anger and he dies drinking that cup so that we might live. Friends, we have a great privilege to read this psalm knowing so much more than what Moses did. We can read Psalm 90. Actually, come back to Psalm 90. We can read this psalm and appreciate so much more the love of God for us. Because despite the shortness of life and knowing God's anger at sin, Moses could still find satisfaction of God in God. And if Moses could find satisfaction, and we know so much more than Moses, well, how much more satisfaction can we find in him? Verse 12, Psalm 90. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favour of the Lord be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Friends, God is eternal and we are not. God is angry. We deserve it. And what does Moses want God to teach us? Teach us to number our days. Why? So we can get a heart of wisdom. Moses is saying, God, remind us of our mortality. Remind us that life is short. Teach us these things so that we can grow in wisdom. Friends, if we seek satisfaction in the things of this world, that's crazy. The things of this world are fleeting. They'll just go. Why? Because we're fleeting and we go too. Those things can't and won't satisfy us. The kind of satisfaction that we really crave can be found in verse 14. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. It's God's kindness, it's his steadfast love that can satisfy us. You know that feeling you get when you drink a cup of really cold water on a hot day and you can actually feel it go down? That's the kind of satisfaction that God can provide for us. Friends, feel it go down. Rejoice and be glad. And friends, we can rejoice all the more than Moses could, because we know that Jesus has faced God's anger for us. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:23. Friends, let's live this year confident that God's favor, his kindness, his steadfast love rests on us. I want us to close our time in this passage by having a think together about our year ahead. I really like the synchronicity of us gathering as a church on New Year's Day with the whole year stretched out before us. What does satisfaction look like for you in 2017? What resolutions should we make? New Year's resolutions are so lame, aren't they? You know, lose weight, get fit, that sort of thing. We're rightly suspicious of these resolutions because we so often fail about doing anything new. The problem with making resolutions is that we fail to make them into a habit. Friends, who among us is planning to clean our teeth this year? You hear that? Anyone planning to clean their teeth? Of course we are. Twice a day, you'll clean your teeth without even thinking about it. It's just what you do. That's the kind of approach we need for this year. Make something a habit, not make a resolution. So this year, commit to a New Year's habit. Ask God this year to teach you to number your days. Pray this year would be a year that you grow in wisdom. Pray that you'd find satisfaction in him. Pray that he would keep reminding you of his steadfast love. Commit to growing in wisdom by reading more of his word. God feeds us and satisfies us as we grow in him. Start a new reading plan with us. You notice on the back of the outline, on the very back page, for the last 4 years, we've taken you through a reading plan at church that's gone through the Bible twice. We've done that for the last 4 years, but this year we're doing something a little bit different. We're going to take you through some sections of Scripture. A prophet, New Testament letters, a gospel. We're going to start at the Psalms. Start with a psalm, one a day, read a psalm and pray. Make it a habit. If you miss a day, don't worry, don't freak out. Just come back to it and pick it up where you left off. Pray for God's help. Pray that he would grow us. Pray that he'll give us a heart for wisdom. And friends, in 2017, remember that God is eternal and we are not. And yet the wonder of the Lord Jesus come for us is that we can live into eternity because Jesus has died for us. Friends, remember that God is angry and we deserve it, but his anger has been turned aside by the Lord Jesus in his death. And friends, remember that God is the one who satisfies. God is the one who makes us glad. Let's pray about these things. Our loving Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for the Lord Jesus and for all that he has done for us. Father, we thank you for reminding us this morning of our mortality. Thank you for reminding us that you are indeed eternal and we are not. Father, thank you for reminding us as well of the horror of our sin and that you are rightly angry with us and that we deserve your anger. Father, we thank you that in the Lord Jesus, he has drunk the cup of your wrath, the cup of your anger, and turned aside your anger from us. Father, we thank you that by trusting in him, we can go into eternity with you. Father, remind us afresh this year that you are the God that satisfies and satisfies fully. Father, help us to rejoice and be glad for all that you've done for us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.